This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University.
In this podcast, I'm going to talk about writing for social media and specifically writing for Twitter. I'm going to explain why I'm starting with Twitter in particular. Then I'm going to talk about how you create a narrative in 140 characters and the importance of non-textual elements in tweets, particularly visual journalism. So firstly, why Twitter? Well, Twitter is still one of the widest reaching social networks out there. It's absolutely dwarfed by Facebook, and a lot of attention is now being taken by Snapchat and Instagram. But it's still worth using as the first social network that you start writing on. This is for a couple of reasons. Firstly, as a journalist, Twitter is your professional network as well as a good way to reach contacts. Secondly, it's a good platform for publishing and blogging, and in particular, it really does develop a skill in writing succinctly and writing visually as well, as we'll come on to. But also, Twitter, along with Facebook, tends to be integrated into content management systems more and more. For example, when the Los Angeles Times redesigned its content management system, reporters were told that they were going to have to write 3 pre-tweets with each article. So every article had to have 3 tweets as well as the actual article itself. These would appear at the top of the article as share lines. Increasingly, other content management systems are asking journalists to include tweetable lines so that it makes it easier for people to share key points in the article. And the Huffington Post and BuzzFeed are among other organisations who adopt this practice. So basically, if you're writing an article, you need to be able to write a tweet as well. The discipline of being succinct on Twitter in particular is something that I think is important to start with. Having to condense a story or an update to 140 characters is a real skill, and it develops that general skill in journalism of using as few words as possible to communicate as effectively as possible. The other discipline that Twitter, I think, really develops well is the discipline of being accurate at speed. Often when you are tweeting, you are having to tweet about developing events, you're having to tweet quickly. It's important to have good spelling and punctuation. You cannot rely on a sub-editor to check your tweets for good spelling. The other really important thing about Twitter is that it's certainly widely understood to improve engagement and trust with media organisations. So it allows journalists to communicate directly with an audience and with potential sources. It allows potential sources to reach journalists as well. If you're trying to get in contact with someone who has shared something newsworthy on Twitter, has shared an image, then if you've not got a lot of history on Twitter, it's not going to show that you care in particular. And it's worth looking at reporters who use Twitter well, like Laura Kunzberg of ITV, and how they summarise what they're doing. In particular, in broadcast, where journalists are on Twitter between bulletins, it's a key way of keeping their audience updated. More broadly, tweeting about other stories that you're not working on, that are from other outlets, that seems to result in more trust as well. It demonstrates that you are actually providing a service and not just using Twitter as a marketing or advertising channel. And that's really important. You know, you shouldn't be seeing Twitter as a channel, as a place to market your content. It is a place to meet sources and build relationships. So, what works on Twitter? Well, overwhelmingly, images. Twitter did some research a couple of years ago on how different elements in tweets affected the likelihood that those tweets would be retweeted. And photos were overwhelmingly the single biggest factor in retweets, certainly more so than videos. Hashtags, digits and quotes also improved the amount of retweets that something got. And I think that tells us something as journalists. If we have a quote in our tweet, it tells users that we have original information, that we've spoken to someone. If we have a digit in our quote, it tells people that we have facts in our story. So do think about those elements when you tweet. Now, increasingly, you will see images used in tweets to make up for the lack of words available in tweets. So if you do have something, a long quote that is too long to fit in Twitter, think about putting that in an image alongside a photo. You should also make sure that your image works on mobile. Twitter uses a landscape format by default when it's been shown in the image stream. So do make sure that the image isn't chopped in an embarrassing way when it's viewed on a mobile phone. Timing is also important on Twitter and on all social media. Likewise, images are important on all social media. Certain times of the day tend to be more successful for people clicking on links in tweets and for people retweeting tweets. So test which times are going to be best and use your instincts and your empathy with your audience to guess which might be the best times to test. So for example, are your audience commuting to work at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m? Are they coming back at 5 or 6 o'clock? Are they on lunch? Are they checking in the evenings? Those might be good times to test. Don't be afraid to tweet the same thing more than once. Change the actual text so it's a different tweet, but if you're tweeting the same link, you can try it more than once and you'd be surprised how few people actually see it both times. Someone did an experiment on this, repeating the same tweet over and over again over a long period, and finding that actually the number of people clicking on the link didn't particularly change over that time, which indicated that it was different people seeing at different times. But do be aware that if you tweet new tweets, it will push your older tweets down. So if you do want people to see a tweet, don't add new tweets straight after it. You'll find similar sorts of findings around Facebook as well. When it comes to the length of a tweet, again, brevity is important. 120 to 130 characters works well, and likewise on Facebook, shorter updates seem to work better. And as with journalism in general, think about verbs, in other words, actions, rather than nouns, objects. So a good story has things happening. Looking more closely at storytelling and narrative, there's generally an understanding that headlines do not work very well on Twitter. So if you've written a headline for an article online, really think twice about reusing the same headline on social media. If you are writing for social media, you should write something that tells a story more than a headline often does. So it should have a beginning and an end. The examples that you'll see on the presentation slides on Moodle demonstrate this. So, for example, the New York Times published one tweet with the headline, "The Rock and Roll Casualty Who Became a War Hero," and that tweet only received 74 retweets. When they changed that tweet to say he got kicked out of both Nirvana and Soundgarden, then he became a war hero, that tweet had 583 retweets. So more than six times as many retweets, because it had a beginning and an end, it told a story. Alternatively, you might focus your tweet on the usefulness of the content. So another example, which you'll also find on the presentation, is what happens to your body when you don't get enough sleep? That's a question which we might be interested in answering. Twitter and Facebook have very different types of stories that do well. Twitter tends to perform better on newsworthy and developing stories like the Boston Marathon bombing, whereas Facebook tends to work better with more evergreen content that isn't particularly time sensitive. Content which relates to your identity often. Again, on the presentation, you'll see a list of the top 20 stories on Facebook in 2014 and the top 20 stories on Twitter, and you can see how different they are. So knowing those differences can help as well. And the third point I want to explore with Twitter is how to make some of those visuals that are going to bring your tweets to life and make it more likely that people click on them and retweet them. Firstly, you should obviously think visually when reporting a story. You should seek to get a photo or find an image which is relevant to that story that you have permission to use. But you can also make images yourself using a range of tools. Canva, for example, is a particularly useful tool for making images for social media because it has all of the social media platform dimensions built in. So you can choose an image for Twitter, or an image for a Facebook page or a YouTube channel, and it will give you the particular dimensions that you need for that channel. And it gives you templates as well if you just want to put text on a background or a text alongside an image. Again, you'll find some examples in the presentation slides. Beyond Canva, think about GIFs. GIFs are now supported on Twitter, and when you create a tweet on Twitter, you can choose a GIF from the library that Twitter has available. But you can also make your own using GIF-making tools. Just search for these online and you'll find lots of options to create GIFs. That might be a GIF from your story, or it might be a GIF which kind of illustrates a sentiment in your story, such as happiness or sadness or silliness. Obviously, be sensitive in the use of your GIFs and make sure it's appropriate to the story. You can also use captioning tools like Legend to combine captions which animate over the top of images or video. Legend is particularly useful for this, but there are others as well, and you can see examples on Moodle in the presentation. And finally, if you're dealing with a story which has a numerical angle, has some facts, then think about charts and maps. Infogram is just one of a number of tools which will create charts based on the data that you have. What's particularly interesting about Infogram is that it now has an option to save your chart as an animated GIF, which really brings it to life on social media. So that's all I wanted to cover in terms of writing for Twitter and social media. The key points again. Firstly, use Twitter regularly as a journalist. It helps you build relationships in your community. It makes you available, but also it helps you hone those reporting skills of succinctness and accuracy at speed. It also makes you more visual. Secondly, be succinct when you write on Twitter and tell a story. Try and have a beginning and an end. Think about quotes and digits, hashtags, at names of individuals that are in a story. If they happen to be on Twitter, then use their at names. And think about timing as well. When's the best time to tweet if it's not time sensitive? Finally, think visually. Think about photos, but also GIFs. Emoji can work well, and videos can work well as well. For further reading on this, the book Social Media for Journalists by Knight and Cook is very useful, and you'll find lots of links on my Pinboard account related to Twitter on the presentation, and there's other links and reading on Moodle as well. You'll also find a link in the presentation to a quiz by the New York Times where you have to try and identify which tweet performed best out of a series of tweets, and it's a really useful quiz to see how well you can tell the qualities that make a good tweet. One of the readings for this week is If Don Draper Tweeted, and this is a useful illustration of lots of different ways of telling a captivating story in 140 characters. And I'd like you to use that article, look at some articles in the day's paper or the day's broadcast, and draft some tweets using those techniques in that article. Publish those tweets on Twitter, and we'll come to look at those using your Twitter analytics at another time. You'll also find on the presentation a video on how to set up login verification on Twitter. Setting this level of security on social media is really important. You do not want your social media account to be compromised as a journalist. It sends out completely the wrong signal about your trust and your ability to control your publication. You wouldn't leave the door unlocked to the newsroom when you went home at night, so why would you do this on the places where you publish online?